Welcome, everybody, to an exciting time in Deuteronomy. Because we're in Titus. All right, we are in Titus. Can somebody shout out the page number so we all know where we're at? 998. Okay. Find that page. While you're finding that page, I am going to guess going on some announcements. If you're new, welcome. Let your leaders know. If you have information to update, let your leaders know. Things I always want you to have. So whenever you enter this room, I do want you to have your Bible or a Bible. We have a cart. You can grab one there. Dress for the weather and bring a water bottle. You just give me a this again. Masks. You know how to wear them. We will let you know if you're wearing them inappropriately. Chairs. Always stack them no more than five high before you leave your small group room. And then gym rules. No marking shoes on the court, please, and thank you. No food or drinks on the court, and then always keep the equipment in there. I know we're getting through it. Snow! Snow is in 2 weeks, so leaders, I have printed for us on the back table on your way out by the hand sanitizer a little sheet where you can fill it out, tell me what you're doing, what the activity looks like, where you're going, those kind of things. This information I would love to have completed tonight, so that next week, if anything needs to adjust, we can make those adjustments. And then also, the wait is over. Spring retreat is happening. How many of you are super forgetful? I'm super forgetful sometimes. Cool. So those who raised your hands need to grab one of these on your way out. This is a card with all of the spring retreat information on it, and you can share it with your friends. And it has our current logo for the trip. So, I know. The theme is redefining love, by the way. Very interesting. We'll talk about, huh? That makes sense with your heart on it. Yes, there's a little heart. It says redefining love. It comes from Luke 10. You can grab a card if you need that reminder. Or if you want one to share with a friend and invite them to the trip. And then please, please be respectful. This is a new one, so I'm going to just kind of harp on it a little bit. As we go between spaces, we need to be quiet for the children's ministry as well as for the sake of all of the people in their own little classrooms. So as we're walking through the hallway, when you get into the gym, also please always be respectful of your leaders and give them your attention. Now, a reminder for us, another one. This is for me, too. We need to wait to be dismissed. So before any of you get up, if I don't say a word, you can be like, Aiden, you're not doing your job. And then you can tell me, and then we can get going. So we do need to be dismissed. This is just so we can pace things out. Cool. Let's get into it. Titus chapter 1. But first, how many of you like sharing? Like, really, really like sharing. Like, you have something right now that you're ready to tell the whole classroom sharing. Cool. So I was the same way when I was your age. See, you're all like, oh, God, not my student. Share and tell. Don't we just love it? Share and tell when we're little kids. Show and tell. Share and tell. Show and tell. I know. I'm sorry. It's been a long night. Right. So show and tell. Things that I brought to show and tell. I once brought a puppy. How cute. You know, but like a little puppy. Like he was maybe 3 weeks old puppy. Like still have little tufts of fur, you know, just really, really cute. I brought cats. That was a thing too. Like we have both. So I'm like 1 week. And then another week I brought a super interesting thing where my parents were like, oh, what are you going to bring to show and tell? And I'm like, oh, I got it. It'll be like, you know, previous weeks. And I'm like, okay. And then I bring this jar of things I have been collecting for like 5 years. Well, really not 5 years, I'm like three, two. But still, is toenail clippings and fingernail clippings. Right. So later you could tell about things that you did in show and tell. That's cool. But this is what I thought was super interesting, and I brought it in because I've been working on this. And my parents were like, he always brings an animal, so we're good. And then they didn't see the animal. We're like, well, it can't be too bad. And then that was the day that I found out I was super weird. Right. Yeah, they thought I was weird. It didn't go well. By the way, they spilled in my backpack, my little... And more than my backpack, I should say my lunchbox where I put them. But it's okay because I ate before they spilled. So we're good. We're good. With that in mind, what's happening tonight? Titus. Titus is the book we're studying. Titus is not who wrote it. The guy who wrote Titus is Paul. And actually, this is a letter from Paul to a guy named Titus. So Paul was working in this area. It was in super old Greece, you know, and the area was called Crete. And in Crete, there were all kinds of issues that Titus had to work with. See, Paul had gone to Crete. He found some believers. He inspired people. And then he's like, Titus, yo, bro, you need to, like, stay here, and I need to go and do other things. And while I'm doing other things, I'll continue to help you where you're at. So this letter that we're about to read, that is the help that Titus got, amongst other things like financial help and so on and so forth. So then Paul had journeyed to this place. He set up Titus in a really good spot. So what was it about this place of Crete that was so bad? Well, Crete was an area in Greece that was filled with a ton of false teachers. We'll get more into that in the following weeks. But what I mean by false teachers, people who would tell lies, people who are like, hey, Jesus is kind of cool, I guess, he's okay, whatever. And so they would go on and they would spread these lies about Jesus. Or others would say, yeah, Jesus is really cool, he's my favorite person in the world. And then they'd go do really, really mean things. So what Paul is trying to accomplish in writing this letter to Titus is by saying there needs to be this belief that you believe in Jesus, and out of that belief, you need to practice that you believe in Jesus. You should not be doing things that make people wonder whether or not you are a believer. That is what's happening in this letter. That is what Paul is trying to correct. And he's writing this to Titus, who then Titus will take this information and he will give it to the people he's working with. So then who exactly is Titus? If you look in your Bibles with me, we're actually going to jump ahead to verse 4. To Titus, it reads, my true child in a common faith. We'll pause there. So to Titus, my true child in a common faith. Things we know about Paul. He was not married, and he did not have kids. And so when he says to Titus, you are my true child, he is literally saying to this guy named Titus, like, look, I love you so much and want you to succeed. And I want you to be able to come to people and share with them the good news of Jesus. And Paul was just really on fire about this young guy who's like, I want to figure this out. I want to do my best for Jesus. I want to be a great leader. That's the relationship that Paul and Titus had. Titus was learning from Paul. And Paul thought of Titus as his own son. They're that close. So moving forward, I love movies. I want you guys to try to guess which movie is my favorite movie. I'll give you some hints. So the first hint is by the production company DreamWorks. Second hint, came out in like 2001. Who said it? Nope. Shrek. It's Shrek. Who's that? Shrek, right. My favorite movie is Shrek. So here's the setup that I want you to understand. 2001 was when this movie came out. In 2001, I was 6 years old. Everything that I became as a human being, I know everybody's like doing the math like, oh, wow, am I like that far? Okay, anyways, 40,000 years old, you know? 40,000 years old. I'm so sorry. So anyways, Shrek was my favorite movie. Why was it my favorite movie? Because there's lots of sarcasm. There's lots of funny moments. I mean, who makes an ogre the star of a movie? Like, that's supposed to be the enemy. And then the person that I idolized, the person that I was to my parents, the person that I just modeled was Donkey. I could not shut up. I could not shut up. I was just all stinking day long. Now, this movie was the movie that I watched every single day. This was the movie that I watched when I was sad. This is the movie when I watched when I was happy. This is the movie that I watched when I was sick. This is the movie I watched when somebody would babysit me. They put me right in front of them like, like, this was my zone. Right? So we love sharing. This is part of our heart as human beings. We love to say, look at all the things I love. All the things that taught me to be who I am. So this is what Paul's doing. Paul is sharing something with us. Paul, let's look at verse 1, is sharing something with us. Verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. We'll pause there. So this is what Paul's sharing with us so far. He's saying, hi, I'm Paul, a servant of God. So what does it mean to be a servant of God? Servant implies that you have a master. Servant implies that you do everything your master tells you to do, no matter what you want. So if you say, I am a servant of God, which, by the way, is our goal, then you are saying to me, I am doing everything that God is asking me to do. I have decided to make God my goal. But he doesn't leave it at just God. He says, and I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle is kind of a weird word that we can work around, but he's just saying, I am a true believer and have experienced Jesus Christ. I have known Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had died, was resurrected, and then appeared before me. So that is what Paul is saying. He's saying, I feel called to do this thing. I feel called to share with people the good news of Jesus Christ. And not just any good news. What is the specific news that Paul is sharing then? As we continue. For the sake of the faith of God's elect. Now for that word, we'll read it like this. For the faith of God's chosen people. For the faith of the believers. And for the sake of their knowledge of the truth. This truth, which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life. By the way, verses 1 through 4 are just one sentence, so it becomes very difficult for us to comprehend everything Paul is trying to say. But what Paul just revealed to us right here is he's saying, I am trying to give this truth. I'm trying to give you a knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the specific thing that I'm focusing on right now is the hope of eternal life. So what do we do with that? We will talk about it. So then he describes himself as a servant. He describes himself as an apostle or as one who has experienced Jesus Christ. So then what's the truth that he's sharing? It's this hope of eternal life. And not only just the hope of eternal life, but again, if you pick up your Bibles and look with me, as we read verse 3, and at the proper time manifested in his word through preaching, with which I have been entrusted by the command of God. Oh, sorry, it was in verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. So not only do we have this promise of eternal life, but this promise comes from God. And what does Paul share about God? He says, God doesn't lie. This is a really important thing for us to understand. When we read scripture, we know this comes from God. And if scripture comes from God, then we need to know that God does not tell a lie. So that every time we read scripture, we know it's true. We know that's good. And so Paul is saying, I want to share this hope of eternal life with you, and I want you to know that this hope of eternal life is true, that you can count on it. So then, what is eternal life? Exactly what does that do with you? As we continue to read verse 4. To Titus, my true child, in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. Okay, everybody stand up really quick. You can hold your Bible if you want to save your place. I know, it's like, let's just wiggle it out, okay? Like, we're getting halfway through this, just wiggle it out. Just absorb it all. Just move a little bit if you need to. Stretch it out, you know. Give yourself a, there you go. All right, take a seat. Right, because this is a lot. We're talking about a lot of stuff, and we're like, okay, what does this have to do with me, Aiden? Tell me why this is interesting, Aiden. I got to know. If you keep talking like this, I'm going to be so bored. Tell me. That's where we're at. So let me tell you then the joy. So grace and peace to you. What is grace? Grace is offering something to someone when that person didn't deserve it. Let me say that again. Grace, for us, if you're receiving grace, means we are receiving something that we did not deserve. That's grace. So, like, if you're super hungry and you're like, have only like $2, and I come up to you and I'm like, you know what, keep your cash, let's go out, you can eat whatever you want. That's grace. Because you don't really deserve it because you didn't pay for it, but yet it's given to you. That's grace. So then what is this eternal life? What is this grace that we're talking about? I like to spend time on YouTube. I like to watch a lot of videos. And there's one video that always, always, always tugs on my heartstrings. Actually, there's a number of these videos. And maybe some of you are related to these kind of people, so you'll track along as well. So here's a video, here's a setup. There's a kid in the classroom, and the kid in the classroom is at the front of the classroom, and this kid's sharing with everybody. He's saying, my father's in the military. He's a soldier. He's away right now, and he's been gone for about 2 years. You know those days when the teacher's like, tell me about your parents, and you get to show or share a little bit. And as this kid continues to share and continues to pull out uniforms and little things that the dad had sent, you can see out of the corner of the classroom, the father's walking in very, very slowly as this kid's just like getting more and more bummed out sharing about the dad. And then finally, this kid gets up, or the dad gets up to the kid, touches the kid on the shoulder. He turns around, literally melted, fell to the floor, bursted into tears. Nothing else could have mattered more in that moment. I like to talk about the relationship between parents and children a lot. Because I think when we have parents who model love and model for us grace, that we really connect with that because we really, really, really know that we are loved. And if your parents aren't that person for you, that's okay too. That's what your leaders here are for. There is not a leader in this room that would tell you anything different than we love you and we're so glad you're here. And all of us mean that from the bottom of our hearts. And this is grace. So what is the ultimate grace then? Well, I think you know the answer. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus came to earth, died for us, was resurrected, and gave us the hope of eternal life. And all he asks is for relationship. And I'd say we don't deserve that kind of love. And I'd also say, I'm so thankful we have it. That is what Paul wants to share with grace. And so then what does Paul mean by peace be with you? Well, my brother and I wanted to go to Canada, and we wanted to go camping in Canada. And maybe you've heard of this area, but it's Banff. And Banff is just this beautiful, beautiful area in Canada. Tons of wildlife. There's lakes and mountains around the area. It's just really an explorer's dream. And they've really, really kept it in great condition where there's not too much built in Banff so that you can feel all of the natural world around you. And you can see the creation of God before you. And it's just super, super beautiful. My brother and I really want to go. We're making the plans. We haven't gone yet. We're just, but I digress. The point being, here's this really amazing place. And so we're looking at the campsites, and the campsites are set up where RVs will come in first, and they'll plug up and hook into their electrical boxes right at the center of all the campsites. And then on the outskirts of the campsites, those who don't need electricity, is where you go tenting. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to go to Canada and pay Canada price for gas when I want to travel all the way through Canada with an RV. So we're going tenting. And so you think, okay, now what does that really mean? Well, there's all this wildlife that we talked about. Yeah, there's bears. There's lots and lots of bears in Banff. Lots of bears. So if you eat something and you leave it out, especially if it doesn't have toenails in it, bears will probably come in and eat it. I know, right? Full circle, people. Come on. So anyways, these bears could come into your campsites. Except they really can't, because between the tent sites and just all this natural area, there's fencing. And not just any fencing. This is really, really high fencing with a little bit of an energy at the top so that even if bears try to climb the fence, they get zapped. Right? Follow me so far? Cool. This, I believe, is what peace is like. Right? I don't. Bears and toenails in my food? That's peace? Ugh. What's wrong with you, Aiden? No. Peace is having this area that we can be when all of life is chaotic and threatening and scary. And there's something between you and that scary thing. There's something between us and all of the chaos that the world can throw at us. And I think that's the peace that Jesus Christ allows us to experience. That on the day-to-day, we can go, okay, this kind of sucks. I really hate doing this much homework. But then you can also say, but one, it's a blessing because Jesus gave me the ability to read and to think and to do homework and stuff. And two, you still have Jesus with you. Or in moments when you're like, okay, people are being really, really mean to me. And this is starting to actually hurt. Like, actually hurt. Yeah, that happens. And we still have Jesus. We still have a spot where we can find rest, find peace, even though the adversaries exist around us. Another image that I like to use is I had a friend talking about a hunting cabin. And in that hunting cabin, they really, really love it. They go up far north near the boundary waters, and on occasion, they can hear wolves in the distance. But they're in a cabin. So you're like, okay, that's cool. Okay, but if you're staring down a wolf or you're staring down a bear and they're right in front of you, you're going to be scared. You're going to want to run. You do not pet those animals. Thank you, Jordan. He gets it. He knows I'm funny. So again, this is the picture of peace. If you can make your bed and find rest and have peace, even when the world is chaotic and threatening around you, you might even go, wow, that wolf is really cool. I'm glad I'm not right next to it. And I'm glad I'm not right next to it when it's really, really hungry. But man, I'm in a spot where I find peace and rest, even though these things exist around us. So that's what it means to have grace. That's what it means to have peace on the day to day. This hope of eternal life is taking those things and multiplying it by 100, 200, 300, literally by infinity. And so there's a hope in the future. There's a hope in the now. And right now, we can trust that we have Jesus Christ, our hope. So, I believe the conclusion that Paul is teaching us is that we need to share. That we should desire to share the gospel, specifically what Paul is talking about, the hope that we have of eternal life. Because we want other people to have rest. We want other people to have peace. We want other people to have grace, to be in this relationship, to know that there is somewhere that they can just find a solid foundation. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the words that Paul has written, the way you have just absolutely loved Paul. And from that love, Paul's been able to share you with so many people. Praise you and thank you for the work that you do in us. And I ask as we go forward tonight that we will continue to desire to share you with every single person. That we'll continue to desire to share this hope of eternal life. In your name I pray, amen. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful night.